Just one other announcement we omitted to mention. Our brother, Mr. Jonathan Smith, is seeking to do some youth meetings in the town of Rich Hill on three Tuesday nights in the latter part of that month, and he's looking for help and assistance with outreach for that. So we're hoping to gather together an outreach team just to letterbox the doors in Rich Hill on Monday night, the 5th of October, meeting here at the church car park at 7:15. So we encourage you to keep that night free. Especially the younger brethren of the congregation would like to see you coming along and helping. We'll not be knocking the doors, just putting the wee invites and a wee track through the door to make known the meeting. So remember that, please, and keep it free Monday night, the 5th of October. We're going to turn again, please, to that psalm that we read earlier, to Psalm number 56. Psalm number 56. And just with God's word open before us, let us bow together, please, just in a brief word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're mindful today of those who mourn, and we do pray for the Irwin family, that Thou will comfort our sister, Mrs. Irwin, and all the family, the family circle, and in their time of loss and bereavement, we pray that they will know Thee drawing very near, and that they will know the grace and the strength of God, and to be their abundant portion, Lord, for the days that lie ahead. Lord, even through our brother's home calling, speak to others in that family circle and in that neighborhood who knew him, who are still not saved or still out of Christ, Protestant and Roman Catholic alike. And Lord, save them by the mighty power and by the mighty grace of God. Lord, bless us now as we come to thy word afresh. Speak through thy word to our hearts today. Cleanse this vessel afresh in the precious blood of the Lamb. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost, with the power of God. May mouth matter and wisdom for this season, we pray. Give all necessary help and all needed grace to the saving of souls, to the strengthening of the saints of Zion. Lord, to the glorifying of thy name. For we pray these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Our text for today is verse number 3. Of Psalm number 56. Let me read that verse with you again. It says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Now David penned the psalm whenever he was fleeing from Saul, and whenever he was taken captive by the Philistines of Gath, the age-old enemies of God's people. Now if you look at the title at the beginning of the psalm, just those words before verse 1, those words which are inspired, that inspired title, you'll see that in the midst of that title, the psalm is called Miktam of David. And that word Miktam, it's a Hebrew word, it really means golden. And it would teach us and show us that the words of the psalm are words that are exceedingly precious and of great value. And the reason why the psalm is so precious is due to the fact that it highlights David's trust in the Lord at a time of great danger in his life. And that trust is outlined by David for us in the words of our text when he says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." And it's this matter of David's trust that I want us to think upon and consider this morning. For friends, just as David trusted the Lord, so we must also say this is God's will for all of his people. The Bible speaks of the Christian and says the just shall live by faith. Yes, the credential for every child of God is to be one of faith in the Lord. It has been said that faith is the identifying mark of the Christian. It has also been said that faith in the Lord is never out of date or never out of season. You think this morning of the words of the hymn writer speaking of their faith in the Lord. They said, "Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust him more." And surely, dear people, those words should be the continual and the daily prayer of all of our hearts as the people of God. Oh, for grace to trust him more. Not being so, I want us to consider these words of David in verse 3. And he says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And as we look at them, there are three things in particular I want to share with you regarding David's faith. First of all, note here the meaning of David's faith. He says in our text, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And by these words, David here is telling us that God is accessible through a mediator. The very fact that David prays in this fashion shows that he believes and that he realizes in his heart that God is accessible through a mediator. Notice how David begins the psalm in verse 1. He says, be merciful unto me, O God. People, the only way that God can be merciful to anyone is through the mediator of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, David's faith was such that it recognized that he could only approach God through the mediator of his Son, Jesus Christ. And dear friends, right at the very outset this morning, here you and I are reminded of the great gospel truth. Yes, we all have sinned. The Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our sin separates us from God. The Bible says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God and have hid his face from you. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. We are sinners by nature, sinners by practice, separated from God in our sin, condemned to a lost eternity, to eternal just punishment for our sin, and a lost eternity in hell. However, the great truth of the gospel is this: if we repent of our sins, we confess our sins to God and turn to Christ, the only mediator between God and man, and when we trust Christ as our Savior, rest on his precious atoning blood shed at the cross of Calvary, then God will forgive our sins. God will save our souls. And my God will be merciful unto us as sinners. Think of the petition of the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Why did he pray that? He knew God would show him mercy through Christ, through the finished work of Christ upon the cross. Praise God, through Christ our mediator, we who once were afar off can now be made nigh. The Bible says that Jesus promises, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Bible says we are accepted in the beloved. And as David prays this prayer, he's highlighting the fact that he could pray to God and he could cry out to God for mercy because he knew God would accept him through the mediator of God's eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here on See a Friend in our meeting this morning, let me say this, that if you repent of your sins, if you come to Christ by faith, confess your sins to God and trust in the atoning blood of Christ shed upon the cross of Calvary, God will forgive your sins. God will save your soul. God will take away the barrier that exists between you and God. He'll bring you into his family, into his kingdom. You will be reconciled with God, your Maker. Praise God, you'll be able to pray to God through Christ, your mediator, the Lamb of God. Yes, the meaning here of David's faith shows us that God is accessible through a mediator. But these words here of David also show us that his faith was such that he was a man who was surrendered to God. His faith here shows us that he was surrendered to God. When he says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Now this is the other dimension to his faith. His faith was such that his life was surrendered to God. You look at verse 12 of the psalm. Notice what he says there to the Lord. He says, thy vows are upon me. He says, O God. In other words, David is telling us there that he was surrendered to God's will. He was determined to pay his vows to God. And this was another mark of his faith. And brethren and sisters in Christ, this is what the life of faith means for us as well. Our wills are to be submitted to God's will. As those who are in Christ, we are to be like Christ our Savior. And how did the Lord Jesus Christ pray in the Garden of Gethsemane? He prayed this, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Well, the life of faith for you and I, dear Christian, means our wills yielded to God. Not our way, not our wills, but God's way and God's will be done and wrought out in our lives. Also through these words here in verse number 3, they also show us here that David's faith meant a yielding to the providence of God. He says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." He was yielding here to the providence of God in his life at this time. And you look at this psalm very carefully and look at each verse and think of its context. Despite all the ordeals that David was facing at this particular juncture in his life, nowhere in the psalm do you find David murmuring or complaining or repining against God. In fact, his testimony here is one of praise to God. Look at how he begins verse 4 of the psalm. He says, "In God I will trust his word. In God have I put my trust." He's praising God there for his word. Look at verse 12 of the psalm. At the end of that verse, he says, "I will render praises unto thee." His heart is full of praise to God, even in the midst of a dark providence in his life. Psalm 34 is another psalm that corresponds to this episode in David's life. When he was taken by the Philistines and when he was fleeing from Saul. How does David begin Psalm 34? He begins Psalm 34 with these words, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Child of God, let me underscore this morning, the life of faith means us also, yes, praying to God through the mediator of his Son. It means our wills being yielded to the will of God, but it also means us as God's people being yielded to the providence of God for our lives. This is how it was with Job. Turn back to Job chapter 23. Job was a most godly man, a most righteous man, a man who knew the favor and the grace of God in a mighty way, yet he went through some very dark experiences in his life, but he realized that the providence of God was at work. And look at his testimony in Job 23 and the verse number 14. Notice what he says about God. He says, "For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me." He knew that God was sovereign over all. God was working out his sovereign providence in his life. Oh, child of God, always remember that God, yes, has a sovereign, loving purpose. And all that God allows to come our way as the people of God. The hymn writer says, "Even crosses from his sovereign hand are blessings in disguise. He performeth the thing that is appointed for me." Yes, we see something here about the meaning of David's faith. But let us move on in the second place this morning as we think further of his faith here in Psalm 56. Notice the season of David's faith being displayed. Notice the season when his faith was displayed. Look at what he says in our text. He says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Notice those words, "I am afraid." It was a time of fear for David. Those words show us that David here was fearful. David here was apprehensive. David was anxious about the situation, and David had good reason to be afraid at this time, because the Philistines were his enemies. They were the enemies of God, the enemies of Israel, the enemies of David. Also Saul and his men, they were out to kill David. They were out to take his life. It was a time of great danger for David. Notice how David speaks of that in verse 6 of the psalm. He says they, and notice here as he writes, notice how he uses the word they. It's in the plural. There was a multitude of enemies against him. He says they gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. There was a multitude of enemies against him. It was a time when the enemies relentlessly dogged his steps. There seemed to be no letting up in this opposition of the enemy against him. Look at the words that he uses in verse 1 and 2 in particular. Notice the mention of the word daily. It emphasizes this, that this was relentless, this attack upon him. He says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me." He was daily being oppressed. Verse 2, "Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou Most High." David is overwhelmed here. David feels surrounded by a multitude of enemies on every hand. There seems as if there is no respite from the attack of the enemy and the opposition to his soul and to his very life. Look at verse number 5 of the psalm. He says, "Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil." He's telling us there how they twisted his words. David, the man after God's own heart, that man who loved the Lord in a mighty way, they rest his words. "My, their hearts are full of malice, full of evil intent against David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the singer of God's praise and the singer of God's mercies." And this all had a tremendous effect upon David. It did not go, as it were, over his head. It had an awful effect upon him. And the effect of all this upon David was that he was to shed many tears in all this situation. For look at what he says in verse 8 of the psalm. He says, "Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle." Tears there that are in the plural. Now you see something of the effect that this all had upon David. It was a time of great anxiety, a great fear, time of shedding tears for David. Yet at this particular time, the thing for us to note this morning is this: David trusted in the Lord as God for help, for deliverance, and for blessing. And dear people of God, surely the lesson here for you and I is this: in all our times of fear, in all our times of trouble, in all our times of need, what are we to do? We're to follow David's example in the psalm. We too are to trust the Lord for his help, for his grace, for his power, for his deliverance, for his provision, for his blessing in our time of need. We are to go to God as David went to God here in the psalm and cries out, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Turn with me over to the little book of Nahum, to the prophecy of Nahum and the latter part of the Old Testament. Little book of Nahum just comes after the book of Micah. And I want you to see what the Lord says to his people about such times. In verse 7 of Nahum chapter number 1, God is speaking here through his servant Nahum. And look at what he says. He says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him." Notice there how the prophet speaks of the day of trouble. The Bible talks about Jacob's day of trouble. And it reminds us of the truth that troubles press in upon the people of God. Troubles press in upon the church of Christ, upon the church of the firstborn, upon the church of the redeemed. But dear people, what are we to do in our day of trouble, in our day of fear, in our day of anxiety, in that day when we're perplexed, when we're in that situation when we feel we have no hope in and of ourselves? What are we to do? We are to look to God. We are to trust in the Lord. It says here, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him." We're to trust in the Lord. In such times, I tell you, at such times, we are not to depend upon man. Because the Bible rightly says, "Vain is the help of man." Also, at such seasons, we're not to run to the world. For again, the Bible rightly says, "Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help." But in all of our seasons of trial and care, we are to resort to the Lord. Yes, in times of affliction, we're to trust the Lord for relief. Turn over there to Jeremiah chapter 16. And look with me at verse number 19. Look at the testimony here of Jeremiah. And friends, Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. He had many, many triumphs because of his faithfulness to the Lord. But look at what he says in his time of difficulty about the Lord. Verse number 19 of Jeremiah chapter 16, he says, O Lord, notice his testimony, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction. He resorted to the Lord, and you and I in our days of affliction are to resort also to the Lord. In our times of weakness, we are to trust the Lord for strength. The Word of God says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. In times of bereavement and loss, we're to trust in the Lord for comfort. In Isaiah 51 and the verse 12, the Lord says to his people, I, even I, am he that comforteth you. He comforts his people. In times of decision, we're to trust the Lord for guidance. The Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In times of loneliness, we're to trust the Lord for his presence. The Lord says in his word, fear thou not, for I am with thee. In times of service and duty, we're to trust the Lord for help and for blessing in his service. The Lord says, yea, I will help thee. He promises to help his people in all their service for God. Turn over to Mark's gospel, please, into the last chapter of the gospel of Mark. Mark's gospel, chapter number 16. You notice the great command the Lord gave to his people in verse 15 of Mark 16. It says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Remember the context. Christ had been crucified. He'd been taken from the disciples. All of Jerusalem at this particular time was by and large against the Christians, against the people of God. Yet they were to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Who was to help them? Go down to the very last verse of the chapter and you'll see who helped them. It says, and they went forth and preached everywhere. Notice these words, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Despite the opposition of men, despite the malice of unbelief, it says, the Lord went with them, working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Yes, child of God, the Lord may ask you to do something. And naturally, we may feel fearful. We may feel inadequate ourselves. But, Christian, do not let fear keep you back from doing the service of God and the work that God has given you and the work that has called you to. He says, fear thou not, I am with thee. I will help thee. I will strengthen thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Yes, the meaning of David's faith. The season of David's faith. Notice one final thought in connection with our text this morning. Notice the outcome of David's faith. Go back again to the psalm. Look at what is said in Psalm 56 in our text. David says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Tell me, was his faith a vain, empty exercise? No, it was not. For you'll see from what he says in this psalm that David's fears are relieved. Look at what he says there at the end of verse number 4. He says, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Again, the same sentiment is given there at the end of verse number 11. He says, I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. David here is no longer afraid of man. No, why? Because he knows the Lord has heard his cry. Look at verse 9 of the psalm. He says, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. What a statement. God is for me. And God is for all his people and all his church and for all his redeemed. My, when we trust the Lord in our times of need, then we'll find our fears being relieved as well. My, will experience the truth of Christ's own word when he says to us, be not afraid, only believe. He'll dispel our fears. Yes, David's fears here are relieved. Something else here to note from the psalm, another outcome of David's faith is that he is comforted. comforted with the thought that God has taken note of his sorrows. God has taken note of his great needs. For look at what he says there again in verse number 8 of the psalm. He says of the Lord, he's speaking to the Lord. He says, thou tellest my wanderings. He says, Lord, you know all about my wanderings. And at this time, David was fleeing like a fugitive across the hills and the caves and the mountains of Israel. Then he says this to God, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? You see, in Middle Eastern times and bygone days, it was an ancient custom to put tears in a bottle when tears were shed, to collect them and to put them in a bottle that they would be held in remembrance of that occasion when those tears were shed. And what is David telling us here? What is he expressing when he says here to the Lord, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? He is consoled here by the fact in his own heart that he knows that God knows all about his griefs. God knows all about his sorrows, his tears, his trials, his needs. He is consoled by the fact here that he knows that God has not forgotten about him. God has not forgotten his cause. This particular time, David was fleeing with just a few hundred men. And he was being hounded like a partridge in the mountains. Yet he knows God has not forgotten his name. God has not forgotten his cause or his witness. And brethren and sisters in Christ, let me say this. This is our portion in Christ as well. The Bible speaks of the believer and says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. His eye is always upon us in our times of need. Never forget that, dear Christian. The Bible says, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. He cares for his people. He cares for his church, for his flock. Turn back to Exodus chapter 3. And look with me, please, at the last few verses of Exodus chapter 2, verses 23, verses 24, verses 25. Here you read of Israel down in Egypt. Pharaoh's favor is no longer upon them. They're in bondage, they're in hardship, they're in great need. But I ask the question, were they forgotten about by God? The answer to that question is no. Look at verse 23 of Exodus chapter 2. Says, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and look at what it says, and their cry come up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Notice those words in particular. God looked upon the children of Israel and had respect unto them. He knows, dear people, all about our needs, our cares. Maybe you're sitting in the meeting this morning and there's a great need in your life at this time, a great fear, a great anxiety. Maybe no one else knows about it. Maybe just those that are closest to you are the only ones that know about it. Christian, take comfort this morning that the Lord knows. The Lord sees. The Lord's eye is upon you. And David was consoled by this fact. His fears are relieved. He's consoled by the fact the Lord knows all about his needs. Notice something else. Another outcome here of David's faith is that God delivers him at this time from the schemes of his enemies. Look at verse 13, the very last verse of the psalm. Look at what he says. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? That speaks of victory in this whole situation. You see, at this juncture in his life, God did indeed deliver David out of the hand of the Philistines, out of the hand of Saul, his arch enemy. Think again of the words of verse 6 of Psalm 34. It relates to this whole experience in David's life. And what does he say there? This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The Lord delivered him. And God, yes, had promised David that he would be king. seemed at this time that everything was against him, that he would never be king. But God's purpose and plan was fulfilled in his life, right to the very last detail, right to the very last letter. For later on, David was to sit upon the throne in Israel. 2 Samuel 2, verse 4, it speaks of David at Hebron. And it says this, "The men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king." God's purpose was worked out in his life. Oh, brethren and sisters in Christ, when we call upon the Lord, we too can trust the Lord for deliverance, just like David. It says in Psalm 50, verse 15, it says, and the Lord is speaking to his people, and he says, "And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Again in Psalm 55 in the verse 22, the Lord says in his word through his servant, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee, and he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." The Lord is able to meet the need of the hour, the need of our circumstances, the need of our situations. Remember what Paul said in Romans 8 verse 31, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Oh, child of God, let me say for you today, there's victory in Christ. In light of that victory, may our continual prayer as God's people be, "Lord, increase our faith." May our testimony, our experience, be like David of old in the psalm who could say, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." We're going to close our meeting this morning, singing together.